Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the word today. We thank you for your word. For your word is forever settled in heaven, you said. Hallelujah. The more we look into your word, the more we see that your word is forever settled in heaven. And if we'll just understand what you're doing, understand your ways, understand the things that you have, then we're going to walk more closely with you. We're going to walk more in fellowship with you. And your spirit is going to fill us and lead us and take us into places that we've never been. Hallelujah. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord told me yesterday, or was it the day before, he said, you're going to have a little bit of a Holy Ghost meeting on Sunday morning. He said, you just let the Holy Ghost go on Sunday morning. And we did. And we let the Spirit of God move on us. Come on. You know, when I say worship is going up in new ways, it's not just because we have Deb up there or just because we have... But man, I mean, we're moving together as a church in the things of God. We're worshiping God together. We're coming together and we're worshiping Him. And that's going to take us places we've never been before. When you send Judah out first, when you send the worshipers out first, the worshipers are what prepare the way for the presence of the Lord. We get out there and we worship and we put God first. I'm telling you what. You're going to get what? You're going to get what? That's what. You're going to get what? You're going to get what? Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Isaiah 55. We've been in Isaiah 55. We're talking about the ways of God. His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. Right? Remember we started this whole thing? Huh? Reach higher. Amen. You know, this whole thing started, I told this story about I'd just been saved for a little while, and I was at church, and we were doing these renewal meetings, and I heard these people in one corner going, ho! Ho! And I thought, these people are plumb crazy. They have lost their minds. They are in the flesh. And I thought, well, I'm not going to say that because if it's God, I don't want to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. If he's doing something, I don't want to say that's not God. I don't want to say that's not the Holy Ghost. So he said, open up your Bible to Isaiah 55. So I did. And my Bible said in Isaiah 55, verse 1, ho! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Yes, come, and buy wine and milk without money and without price. See, no, God's not hung up on wine. Wine, milk, you know. Come and buy without price, he says. And then over in verse 8, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. So what does that mean? We don't think like him, and we don't do like him automatically, do we? So when we get saved and we just keep on doing and being and acting like we always did before, that means we're still acting in our old ways, right? He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. In other words, God says, I'm up here, and I want you to come up here with me. Is he going to say that without giving us a way to do it? No. Paul said that he'd been given a messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh, to buffet him, lest he be exalted above the normal status of man. So what does that mean? That means Paul had tapped into the ways of God. He'd tapped into the thoughts of God. And he was being exalted above the normal status of man. And he was getting revelation. He said, because of the abundance of revelation that was given to me, a messenger of Satan was sent. It didn't mean that God was testing him with sickness and disease, as some people say. You know, some people will get to, you know, a messenger of Satan was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, and they'll stop right there, and then they'll just tell you everything that pops into their head. Why? Because their ways are not higher than our ways. They're not tapping into God. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Boy, Pastor, you sure read that a lot. Yeah, I know. Is it changing us yet? It ought to be. His word is his way. If he said it in his word, it's his way. If it's his way, he wants it to be our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He wants us to come up. He wants us to be elevated to where he's at. You know, there in the garden, he made man, and he made him in his image and in his likeness, and then he breathed his spirit into him. From the very beginning, God has intended that we're to be like him. We're not to be some worm just muddling through the mud, just barely getting by on just barely getting by street, just overcome by every problem and circumstance and situation that comes into the world. No. We're meant to overcome. We're meant to be victorious. See, we're only not victorious and we're only not overcoming when we quit. You can be faced with the same situation year after year, decade after decade. But as long as you don't quit and give up, you're overcoming. You're victorious because you're not letting that thing get to you. You are getting to it. You're telling it no. I mean, I don't care how many times you have to quit something. You keep quitting it until it doesn't have to come against you and you don't have to quit it anymore and it's gone. Quit again. Don't ever stop quitting. I mean, you know, on habits and things like that. And don't ever stop quitting on God. Don't ever, well, I just don't know. It just never works out for me. Who was that? There was a character in a movie. Well, things just never work out for... Oh, it was the Polar Express. That one little kid on the Polar Express, he says, well, you know, concerning Christmas, he says, it just never works out for me. I just never have Christmas. Yeah, I love that movie. You know why? Because I love Christmas. But I like the message, too. I like the message. Be positive. Expect good things to happen. God wants good things for us. He's planned that we should have good things. He's planned that we should eat the fruit of the vine, that we should have a good and long and successful, happy life. That's his plan for us. In the Ten Commandments, the first commandment given with promise is children, obey your parents. Why? Because if you do, you're going to have a long, good life. Right? Right? Come on. Hebrews 11:6. Oh, this week, the ways of God, faith, faith, faith. God is a God of faith. We could read through, let's go ahead, we'll start in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This word faith is in the Greek is the word pistos, P-I-S-T-O-S, like a pistol, right? Pistos. What it means is believe. It means assurance. You like the old song, Blessed Assurance? Jesus is mine. It means assurance. It means fidelity, something you can trust in, something you can place your hopes in. Faith is what you believe. Ephesians, Paul said, now, faith, it is by faith that you are saved. It is by grace that you are saved through faith, not that it is of yourself. So we're saved by faith, by what we believe. What happened? You heard that Jesus loved you. You heard that he died for you so that you could be saved, so that you could not go to hell, so that you could go to heaven, and you believed, right? That's faith. It's what we believe. It's assurance. In your heart, man, I'm telling you, March 29th, 1996, I gave my life to the Lord in August of 1974. But on March 29th, 1996, I came back to the Lord. It was around 9 o'clock in the evening on a Friday night. And I came back to the Lord. I'd been living like the world, man. Living like the world. And these pastors gathered around me and they prayed for me. And they laid hands on me. And it was, my eyes were closed, but I could see a fire start in my feet and just went like a wildfire, just blazed through me. And then as soon as that was gone, water, cool water came rushing through me. I was cleansed of all unrighteousness. I had been living a very unrighteous life. But you know, I would never say no to Jesus. I went to visit my parents a few months before that. I went back to my apartment in Minnesota, and the Lord said, pray in tongues. Now, I've been living like the world for over a decade. And I'm telling you, God spoke to me. He spoke to me and he said, pray in tongues. And I did. And you know what? From that moment, everything turned around. Later on, I found out that my parents had prayed over my pillow and my pillowcase and anointed it with oil. Well, there's power in prayer. Come on. But it changed. It changed. Everything changed at that moment. We have faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, for it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Back to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Listen, if we're really truly Bible-believing Christians, then you believe that God created the heavens and the earth, that he formed everything, that he did it in 6 days and rested on the seventh. You believe that. You don't believe that it was already here and he just intervened in some sort of Darwinian creationism. You can't believe that because that's not what he says. That's not what he said. You have to believe that the worlds were framed by him. Listen, we can't start watering down just because it's easier to get along with people. Man, that is one thing I have found out since I got here. You enter the ministry and it becomes a whole different creature, baby. It's a whole different creature. I mean, I've been in ministry for most of my adult life. But you come in and you're the senior pastor and you just start saying what the word says. Well, Jesus said that people are offended for the word's sake. I get offended for the word's sake sometimes. Come on, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody else. You point one at someone else, I'm pointing five back, four back at me. I get offended for the word's sake. There are things that I'm like, I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if I, but, so I have to start what? Getting past what I think, right? It's the same for all of us. We all have to. By faith, Abel offered, oh, well, let's finish that. By the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, he didn't take something, and right there you see it, he didn't take something that was already created and just add to it. He didn't take, there was evolution going on and God put his finger on an evolving ape and said, now you're a man. He made it out of, you have to believe, he made it, everything that is seen out of things that are not visible. Come on. Out of things that are not visible. Do you know that in science, physics, there's these things called quarks. They operate at a level where you can't see them, but they respond to vibration and sound. Those are things not visible. Everything that is seen is made from things that are not visible. Everything, these chairs that we're sitting on, are the very base substance of them are quarks. Isn't that quirky? They're made from quarks, things that are not seen. God knew before science could confirm these things that they were true. Can you believe God? You believed him for salvation, right? You believed that Jesus died for you. Well, then you got to believe this too. This is his word. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Oh, and Cain didn't like that, did he? Through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and through it being dead still speaks. Abel, even though he's dead, his gift still speaks because his gift was right. What he brought to God was right. He had faith. By faith, Enoch was taken away. Come on, I love Enoch. I think Enoch is like us. Enoch, it says, so that he did not see, was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had the testimony that he pleased God. And God took him away. That's like the rapture. That's like the rapture. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who? God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him diligently. One of the ways of God is faith. God is a faith God. Do you think that he just went out and said, well, I wonder what will happen if I start saying these things? What if he'd gone out not knowing? Nothing would have happened. Nothing would have happened. We continue to speak. We continue to speak. Faith's eye. Several months ago, she went to her new doctor here, and he said her eye is dying. They couldn't get a reading on it. And they expected it to just keep getting worse, and you know, for the next couple of years, and then she'll just have to have a prosthetic. So she went to the eye doctor this week, and he said, well, it's the same as it was last time. I said, well, that's retrograde. We're going to call that retrograde. You know what retrograde is? You know, when the Earth is in the seventh house, and Jupiter aligns with Mars. They don't know what we're talking about, dude. Well, you had to be there for karaoke. That's all I've got to say. But it's in retrograde. Her eye had been getting worse, and now it's starting to reverse. We're calling it, this is the reversal process. It has ceased getting worse. We're declaring this is the point where it starts getting better. Amen? Amen? At a certain point, we have to say with our lives, this is it. I'm not taking any more. This is where things turn around. This is where things start to change. This is where things start to come together. This is where my healing starts today. This is where my life starts over today. March 29th, 1996. That was where the day my life started over again. Has it been perfect? Have I been perfect? No. But I'm victorious because I keep moving forward. I'm a conqueror because I don't let things conquer me and put me out. I keep moving forward. If you'll just say today, and we're going to do this on Thursday, today is the day that these things stop. We're not taking it anymore. This is the day we declare God is the God of this property, God is the God of this church, God is the God of my life, and today we're moving forward in victory, and we're not going to take it anymore. Amen? Someone said I'm not a preacher. Tell them they were wrong. Everything he does is done through faith. Jesus even said, we had a conversation recently about a song, a worship song, and I said, well, you know, that's really not the direction. You know, because in this song, there was this notion that God was going to cast our mountains down for us. Do you know that's not what the Bible says? He doesn't say, let me come over here and cast that mountain into the sea for you. No, he says, you speak to your mountain, and whatever you tell that mountain to do, you cast that mountain into the sea, and it'll be done for you. He doesn't say, you just call on me, and I'm going to cast the mountain into the sea for you. No, Jesus said, you speak to the mountain, you cast it into the sea. Without faith, it's impossible to believe God. I don't care how big your mountain is. There's this church that Kathy used to tell me about. It's in Alaska. So there was this church, and they built this new big building, and the county comes out and they says, well, your parking lot's not big enough. You can't open until your parking lot is big enough to accommodate the people that you can seat in here. They were up against a mountain. Literally, they were up against a mountain. That week, after they prayed about it, this company comes in and says, we're building this such and such residential tract over here, and we'd like to pay you for dirt from your mountain as fill dirt. Come on! They prayed. And they, I'm telling you, God brought people in to literally move the mountain. They came in and they paid the church. Come on, they got paid for fill dirt. If we just give up, we're never going to see those things happen. We're never going to see God do more and greater and bigger and better things. Faith right there. She's not supposed to be here. The disease that Kathy has, she should never get past 12 weeks pregnancy. Never. We made it to 21 weeks with our first baby, and they thought she had something, and they misdiagnosed her, told her not to get pregnant again. It was always going to end the same. Then we had Faith. She was born at 25 weeks. The disease, without medication, should never have gotten her beyond 12 weeks, much less 20 weeks, or the 25 weeks that she was born at. Do you think we're going to let a silly thing like an eye that's having trouble stop her from having a full life? Oh, buggers no. We're not. Thank you. Come on. If we let something, look how far you've made it. Look how far you've come. Think about the goodness of God and everything that He's brought you through. Come on, some of you have been through a lot, right, sweetheart? You've been through a lot. You've been through diagnoses and treatments and things that are trying to kill you and to destroy and steal from you. Do you know what Jesus said that is? That's the devil. He said the enemy or the devil comes only to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I have come to give life and that more abundantly. God wants us to have life and that more abundantly. But it's going to take faith. We have to believe Him. We have to take Him at His word. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 1:18. Let's look at that. Isaiah 1:18. Oh, praise the Lord. Say He is good. All the time. All the time. Yes, He is. Isaiah. I had a bookmark in it, and then I pulled it out to put it someplace else. Isaiah 1:18. God says, "Come and let us reason together," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool, which is white. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Listen, God says, come, let us reason together. You've got a problem, bring it to me. Let's look into my word and see what my word says about your problem. Let's look into my word and see what my word says about your situation. And if you'll come and you'll line up with me, then you're going to eat the good of the land. But if you rebel and you don't, you're going to die by the sword. That situation is going to take you under. It doesn't matter. We lost a baby, had one at 25 weeks, lost another baby, and then we had Josiah. If we'd have just said no, the doctors told us, she wouldn't be here if we'd done what the doctors said. That would be very sad. She wouldn't be here. Thank you, sweetheart. Come and reason with Him. Get out His word. Jesus said His word is seed. God said, my word is seed. If you'll sow it, if you'll plant it, it's going to come back to you. The word of salvation is a seed. I remember years ago, I hardly knew anything. But the Lord said to me, I was just waking up. You know that when you're just kind of waking up there and you're kind of like, where am I? And the Lord said to me, the seed that I put within you is precious. Guard it. And I thought, that's awesome. What does it mean? What does it mean? Well, it was a long time before I figured out what it meant. His word is seed. He has planted His word in us. His word is engrafted into us, He said. What does it mean to have something engrafted unto you? Have you ever grafted on a branch to a tree? Kathy worked for this orthodontist, and he had this big farm, and he loved grafting different kinds of things together. My in-laws bought one of these trees. It has one big branch does pears or peaches, and another big branch does plums, and another big branch does pluots or something else like that. But this one tree has four different kinds of fruit growing on it. How does that happen? Well, they graft it on. And that limb, that branch, is fed by the root. The same root that feeds this branch feeds that branch. They're grafted in. The Word of God is supposed to be grafted into us. If the Word of God isn't grafted into you, man, I'm telling you what, you'll believe anything. Man, God hates certain things. Shedding innocent blood is a big one for Him. You know what that is, right? Shedding innocent blood? That's abortion. He hates it. You vote for somebody who's pro-abortion? He hates it. He hates things. Jesus said, in that day, I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep are those in that passage of Scripture that have blessed Israel, that have been there to help them and to support them, to pray for them, to provide for them. The goats are the ones who tried to divide up Israel. They're the ones who tried to make a two-state solution because they're trading peace, land for peace. They're dividing it up. You know, in the book of Revelation, it's all about Israel. It's all about how the nations treat Israel, and they come against Israel. You got to... By faith, we please him. He said, bless Israel, and I will bless you. Curse Israel, and I will curse you. You want to line up with certain things. I don't have any pet doctrine. I have the word. I stick with that word. You got to stick with the word. Listen, Jesus said, in Matthew 24, that in the end times there'll be a time of great lawlessness. Paul said, referring to the Antichrist as a man of lawlessness, that the end times would be a time of lawlessness. Last week I talked a little bit about the law. I'm going to be really clear about the law. The law is the Torah. The Torah is what God gave Moses. It's not just the Ten Commandments, but it's the teachings. It literally means, Torah means the teachings of God. If we abandon the teachings of God, then we are lawless. Do we want to be lawless? We cannot abandon his teachings. Listen, everything in this is good for us. Everything about this teaches us his ways. God is a God of love and mercy, but he's a God of law. God is a God of faith. And without faith, you can't please him. If you're just walking around, if we're just walking around and we're living life any old way we want to, we want to be of faith. Of faith, trusting God, believing God. There's no greater physician than Jesus. There's no greater healer than Almighty God. Whatever we're going through, he can help us and he can heal us and he can mend us. And he will meet us wherever our faith is because he's a God of faith and faith pleases him. We might have faith. We'll go to the doctor and the doctor's going to help and we'll have a speedy recovery. That's faith. God's going to help you have a speedy recovery. God's going to help us and we're facing financial problems. God is my provider, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord, my provider. Jehovah Jireh. He provides. We have to have faith. He said, if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Come on. That takes the same faith as believing for healing, as believing for financial help, as believing for any restoration or restitutions, anything. It all comes from him. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ruben, let's just close our eyes for a minute. Heavenly Father, I'm not going to ask if anybody needs to get saved. I'm just going to assume that everybody here is saved because we're family here today. But you can listen to this message. You can hear the scriptures being read, and you can say to yourself, I haven't been doing that. I haven't been living up to that potential. I don't want you to raise your hand. I just want everybody to stand up because I guarantee you that's all of us. It's all of us. Pray with me. Father, forgive us for not trusting you the way we should. Help us to be obedient to your word. Help us to live like you. Help us to live your ways. Help us to live your thoughts. In the name of Jesus. Amen.